My name is Jane Romberger. Mike and I are here at Mount Hermon. Mike is the CEO president, and I follow whatever he does, like, and get paid nothing. Well, no, I get paid his salary. He gets paid nothing. Which is all part of it. This is my resume right there. And the colors are a little bright, but I'll just introduce you briefly to them. I do not have children. I am raising adults now. I did have children, though. So the oldest is Megan. Oh, look. Oh, I just bought this. Watch this. Where'd it go? Oh, okay, wait. Oh, it won't go on the screen. It's just going to flip it all up. Sorry. Oh, am I going the wrong way? There we go. All right. So much for technology. This is Megan. And she is our oldest, and she lives in Denver, Colorado, where we're from. And she is married to Eric. They didn't want to stand next to each other for some reason. Actually, Rachel took those pictures. If you don't know about family pictures, you want to be able to sign up for that. Anybody new to Mount Hermon? It's your first time here? Good. That's Megan. She's married to Eric. They live in Denver. Megan works for a ministry called Open Door Ministries, where she helps men and women come off the street and get their life together in all kinds of ways, including Jesus, the big one. And Eric is a chemistry teacher in a high school. And the only reason we would let him in the family is because he likes baseball. Otherwise, he's just a science nerd. Aubrey's the next one. She's next to Eric over here. And Aubrey is a single living in Denver, and she is a manager at Target. She will tell you that when you go into Target, Target tells you what to buy. Semi-enjoying her life at Target. It's retail, right? Next is Noelle. She's over on this side. And she is also known as Olaf, for anybody who had Olaf as a counselor. Oh, so sweet. You are welcome with that baby. And Noelle, you'll see her in the bookstore this week as she is working in the bookstore this week. I know, I'm so sophisticated. She is a Moody Bible Institute student when she isn't staying home. We were empty nesters last year for 3 months. Kind of like trick birthday candles, right? You blow them out, they come back. She came home at Christmas not feeling her best and ended up 2 weeks in the hospital with a perforated appendix. Yeah, so she had to stay home for till she healed up inside and they could take her appendix out in March. So she took an intermission from school. Thus, my beautiful guest room became her room. And then the other cute, really cute boy besides my handsome husband is Caleb, which this week you will know him as Bronco. Do not give that name up, okay? I always forget. And I don't call him Caleb anyway. I call him Buddy, so I don't ever give up his name, which is really good. But Caleb Bronco is working in whatever that place is. Thank you. This is what happens when you're a mom, right? You lose some of the cognitive stuff. So he'll be a sophomore at Liberty University in Virginia and loves it there. He's so funny. He'll call us at midnight or 11 o'clock our time. We know what time that is for him, right? So we are in 4 time zones across the United States. Luckily, we are on the West Coast because our kids stay up much later than we do. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. So that's my resume. I promised my friend Liz, who is my next-door neighbor and dear friend, that I would stick to my script this week. So I'm going to really try. All right. As a mom, where do you need courage? Anybody? I think I have a slide for that. Where do you need courage?
Letting your kids take risks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Letting my daughters have to drive.
Ooh, yeah, that's a big one. I had a mom
last year, we were sitting at a table at lunch with a family, and this mom, this is not on my script, but this mom, the little boy says, "Oh, I love having Bronco as my counselor. He lets us stand on the very edge of the trail." You know, the one that goes down into the valley. And I looked at the mom, she's like, risks, risks, yeah. What else? What do you need courage for?
Being a mom of four boys.
Four boys. Oh, my goodness. You have a lot to keep alive. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You need to talk with Kelly. Kelly, they're moving, Paulson, she's Ryan's wife. They're moving across the country, to, well, kind of, Colorado to California. They're moving to a foreign land here. Yes. All right, I put a definition of courage for you. The ability to act fully on what I believe, even when I'm afraid, or when I'm not sure of the outcome. Sometimes that's what courage means to us. I want to be brave to go against the flow of culture, even though sometimes I don't know how that's going to come back to me. I want to be smart and educated in how to apply God's word everyday life with my kids. And I want to love them with pluck. Oh, I like that word. Pluck. With nerve, with boldness. That's how I want to love my kids. But I know myself, and I know my shortcomings, and my propensity to react rather than respond. Do you have that as a mom sometimes? Yeah, okay. I'm not really a people pleaser, so that is not a hard thing for me as a mom, but some of us want to please our kids and have them love us because we're kind to them, and we do that, and we want to please other people around us, like maybe our mother-in-law in how we raise our children, or other friends who raise their children differently or whatever. So we have all these things that are working against us in some ways and for us. Today we're going to look at three things. We're going to, and you can just fill them in or you can wait and I'll go as you want, okay? We're going to look at how to fill up and follow Jesus as a mom. I just think that is so key. And then we're going to talk about how to talk and train. How to talk to our kids, how to train them. And then we're going to talk about how to listen to them and love them. And before I begin, I want to add a disclaimer to who I am. First of all, I want you to know that I am a mom. Okay? Just like you, I'm a mom. I have four. It's a good. Secondly, I want you to know that I am not a child psychologist. Okay? I am not. I am not a marriage counselor. I have no professional training in parenting, except that I have been a mom my whole adult profession. Okay, just like you, probably. We had 4 years without kids. That was it. And then the world changed. Third, I want to offer you the best tool that you can have as a parent. The restart button. The refresh. I'm going to restart. I'm doing this the wrong way. I'm going this direction. I need to be going this direction. We always told our oldest that she was the guinea pig, you know, because we'll try it on her and see how it works. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And sometimes it worked on her, but it didn't work on the next one. Are your children all the same or are they all different? Yeah. How many of you have one child? Okay. Great. Three? Good. Four. Ooh, five? Ooh, six. All right, you win, Kelly. Five. But by five, they kind of help take care of each other, so that's a really good thing. Yeah, yeah. The restart refresh button is so helpful. What do you do when your cell phone doesn't work? It starts having glitches on you. You turn it off, right? And you hit restart. Why? What does it do when it's off? It refreshes. It goes back to its original programming and restarts with the glitches gone, usually, right? You hope. That's kind of sometimes what we need to do. We got to restart, and I'm going to hit this button quite a bit because as moms, we really need to think. It's not like you don't have to say, I'm going to do it this way and then never change. We change, we adapt, we move with it. It's so important. There's no rigidity in it. It's grace, right? So I thought I'd start with a mom fail story. Mom fail. You guys are like dead today. A mom fail story, so I could just touch with you that we all do this wrong. Okay, so I could tell you about the time that I left our house with one of our kids and got all the way to the car, got her buckled in, and then remembered that I had just had a second baby. And she was in the house in her crib. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else leave a baby behind? Oh, raise it high. We have this in common, okay? Well, I could tell you about the time that I had three kids at Target, getting to the counter, putting stuff on the belt. You know, I got one strapped in, one in the cart, and one somewhere around me until I realized she wasn't somewhere around me. And Target actually had to shut down the store, and they do that within seconds, right? And they send their employees, they know exactly where to go, and into the bathroom, and there she was. She decided she had to go. So she went. Anybody else lost a child in a store? Oh, yeah. Yes. All right. But the worst one was a high school kid. How many have high school kids? All right. Youth? Junior high? Yeah. All right. So this one child, I'll leave her nameless up there, but Megan was... my oldest, she was one of those kids that you didn't talk to her in the morning until she talked to you. That was just the better rule to go by, right? So we have a thing in our house that we always get ready the night before. Everything's ready the night before. So you get it and you go. Well, she didn't buy into that rule, or was still learning it, the whole brain hasn't closed thing. And she was so grouchy. And she was sitting on the floor in the laundry room, getting her shoes on, cramming things in her backpack. She was late. She was mad that I wasn't going to hand her breakfast to walk out the door. You know, it was on the counter ready to go. Not go, but sit down and eat. But she didn't allow her enough. So you get the picture. So I was so mad, and we got into this verbal thing. And I may have called her a bad word. I did. I called her. Oh, some of my girlfriends are all, that's a swear word? Yeah, I did. I was so bad. And it was like I vomited right on her. That's how I felt as a mom afterwards. I'm like, and I don't swear. I like really never do. It doesn't come out of me if I get scared or anything. I just don't. And I'm like, where did that come from? But I was so ticked. So I met her after school at a cross-country meet. She ran by, handed me a card, and ran on her way. And she had taken her off time at school to go get me a card and write me a note of apology. And she said, Mom, it wasn't really a mom fail. I needed that. In the morning, because I was really being that. And I said, yeah, but I still should have never done that. And I say that because there's very little in the Bible that talks about specifically about mothering, right? We have to draw from principles. There are principles like don't use abusive language. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like one of my jobs today, I want to tell you these mom fails because we're all in it together, right? We are. And I'm no better than you in any response, probably worse. But courage, to me, it's the ability to believe in Jesus and live out your faith with conviction with your sons and daughters. That is the courage that you need. What you believe, what you know is true of Jesus and of his word, that's what you want to live out for your children. And that takes courage in today's society. So I'm going to pray for us and then jump right in with Philip and follow. Lord Jesus, I pray that each woman that is in this room would be
just encouraged by you today. It's such a hard road to be a mom, but you have gifted us. You have trained us with your word in different ways, and you have shown us the example of love. And so we want to follow you in that, Jesus. And I pray that each person leaves this room with their head lifted higher today, looking to you for help. In your name, amen. All right, so the first is to fill up and follow. And this seems like such a basic thing, but it really gets in the weeds when we're busy. It gets in the weeds when we have a tiny one. Anybody have a tiny one at home that's not sleeping quite yet? Yeah, or you have little ones and they wake up before the rooster, right? Anybody have little ones that wake up really early? Yeah, just wait. When they get to be teenagers, they won't. And then you have a whole different thing on your hands. I have a friend that would wake his kids up with a squirt gun in the morning. Like, stand, wake up. He was a dad. He could get away with that. All right, Philip, we have to find time to fill up with Jesus. You gotta find time. It's gonna be practical today, okay? I wanna give you courage to find time, carve it out, follow Jesus, fill up with him. First of all, by studying his word. Spend time reading God's word and studying of it. How many of you have time to be in a Bible study? Okay, quite a few of you. Good. How many of you listen to a devotional online or you're, okay, good. You're good. You're doing good. I can tell you, if you're not in God's word and reading it, I always ask this, like, how do you expect to have wisdom to give your kids if you're not seeking wisdom from God? And how do you expect to have discernment to tell something's going on in my kid's life? I can't tell what it is, but I really need discernment. If you're not asking for that from the Lord and seeking it from his word, being in God's word every day is such an important thing. I can't say it enough. It's like, I always think of this is his breath, right? This is the breath of the Holy Spirit. He's breathing into it. If you keep it closed, you suffocate, literally. You suffocate. The second you open it up and let the richness of it come, he breathes life into you. And we need to breathe. As a mom, we got to breathe. We can't hold our breath. So we got to be in his word. Anybody have a word kind of study or something that they do on a regular basis that really gives them breath and life? What do you do, Victoria?
Veronica.
Darn, I got the V. Veronica.
This is just really an encouragement. So I switch my Bible all the time.
Yeah.
Because it helps me. And I get up, this is my daughter, she can attest it, she's 20. I get up at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. I know it sounds crazy because I'm awake.
Uh-huh.
And instead of getting frustrated that I need more sleep because mm-hmm. then I can't do life, I get up and I go up front and I read my Bible. And I decided, even if I fall asleep with it on my chest, I'm going to make sure my kids know that their mom has been in the Word.
Right.
And
yeah.
For Mother's Day this last year, she wrote me this beautiful letter, and she said, it's so comforting to know that my mom gets her directions and what she does in life out of God's Word.
Right.
And I notice you, Mom, every morning up front with your Bible, and I thought, that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they need to know, don't they? They need to study. They need to know that you study your Bible. God has to say matters. And you know what else? I'm going to say this 100 times. It works. It works. So don't go to something broken. I love this Bible. I sat on a bookstore floor and looked at Bibles for a long time one day. And this is called the Wayfinding Bible. And it is by Tyndale. It's the New Living Translation. And I've been in the NIV, NASB, ESV, whatever, adult versions. This one is great. I read through Romans in the New Living Translation. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Like, it's just this fresh new language to me. I work with people who are seeking Jesus all the time. And this translation has been so helpful for them. I have to tell you, what it does is it has three ways to read the Bible: the flyover route, the direct route, and the scenic route. And so the flyover route, it takes you through 52 readings of the Bible in chronological order. And it gives you the big picture. And you just follow this little, literally, you follow a little blue airplane through your Bible. And it's in normal order, but it pops you backwards and forwards and all of this. I have a new believer that's working on it right now. And she goes, oh, I am so excited. It gives you little bubbles to fill in. But it has, like, here's the big point right here. You read this. You read the passage till you get to your little blue airplane. And then it says, oh, fly ahead to page 258. So I'll say, where are you reading in your Bible now? She says, I'm on page 1050. She has no idea what book of the Bible it is because she can't pronounce it. But she's so excited, she's in it. And I say, go for it, girl. And you know what? It has been life-giving to me because there's no dates. So if I miss a day or two or three, there's not this burden of I'm not going up and to the right, right? I loved how Ryan said that. Up into the, you all got that, right? It's the graph, right? You get, okay, just making sure. Anyway, this is a great thing. We sell them in the bookstore. You can order them online. Mike says I should work for Tyndale House. I want to tell you this too. So study being God's word. That's so key, okay? I can't cram it in there enough. You really need to do it because God is going to give you wisdom and he's going to give you discernment and he's going to direct your path with his word. And then you need to teach your kids how to do it. How do they read their Bibles? Maybe that morning time before they go out the door, you're reading a verse and you talk about it with them just briefly, you know? That means you have to be prepared as a mom and breakfast is on the counter ready when they are up. Even if it's cereal. They love coming down and having their bowl and spoon in their cereal to choose from right there. So I'm all practical, that's me. 1 year, Caleb and I, when he was in junior high, we read through the 1 year Bible together. Every night before we went to bed, we'd read our little passages. It was great till we got to Song of Solomon. And he's like, Mom, could you read this out loud? I don't want to. You know, because it had the word breast or something in it, but there we go. All right, second is prayer. Prayer, you gotta pray. You gotta ask for help. How many of you, prayer is easier than Bible study? Yeah, how many of you, Bible study is easier than prayer? All right, you're my peeps. Prayer, I really didn't get it till I was in my 40s. I hate to say it, and I'm still in my 40s. Yeah, with four adults, right? Prayer is so important. And you know how I got it? I was teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And then I started praying the Lord's Prayer. Duh. Like, but in my own words. So I'm just going to take one portion of it. I ask each day, Lord, today, my daily bread. Can you give me my daily bread? Now, I know it's not scones and donuts for me, but it's what from his hand, he's the only one who could give it to me. And I ask him, I want something from your hand that I know is from you that no one else can give me today. And I look for it in my day. And I thank him for the day before. Like maybe it was just that brief conversation that I had with my husband that we needed to clear the air. Thank you for that. That was my daily bread. Gave me the strength to keep going and not make him sleep on the couch. You know, whatever it is. It's like whatever that daily bread is he can give to me. It just sets my heart straight and my mind straight. And Eugene talked about this when he said, you know, you surrender, you give your heart to Jesus every day. So your will, not mine. Filling up. I'm going to go so much faster now. Practical person that I am, I went to a friend and I said, tell me a good book I can read on raising this daughter of mine, right? I need, or do you have a child psychologist I could go talk to? And she said, oh, I have a child psychologist for you. She's great. But she won't talk to anybody until they've spent 30 days on their knees at that child's bedside. And I'm like, duh. Again, you know, restart. And I did. And you know what? It's so sad. God fixed her just like that. No. Come on. Nobody in here has a kid. She's still the same. But you know what he did? He fixed me. He fixed me. Like, I was looking through the wrong lens. It was about her. No, it was about how I was responding to her. Yeah, you guys buy in too fast. All right. I found this book years ago. I haven't read it in a long time. Oh, please don't be doing that. There we go. It's called Upside Down Prayers for Parents by Lisa Berggren. And it's really the idea of we pray so well for our kids. We pray for their safety, for their protection. Anybody pray for that? Especially if you have boys? Yeah. What else do you pray for your kids?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit works in them? Yeah. What else do you pray for your kids? Okay, that's good. That's in the book. That's in the book. That's good. That if they do something wrong, they get caught. Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is that we're not praying for all their safety and their protection, but that God would have his how can I pray for my child so that their character is more like Jesus? It's not going to be provide and protect them. I guarantee you. So that's a great go-to. And then I'm just going to say time with other moms is a way to fill up. How many of you have a community of moms around you? Yeah, and it'll change as you get older. You know, because the kids get older. And when they get in high school, it's really hard to do this one because your kids are pulling you in every different direction. But maintaining those friendships and those things. I have a girlfriend, Kristen, that we raised our kids together for 14 years, and we would drop them at the bus stop in Colorado where they actually have bus stops, and buses pick kids up and take them to school. And then we would get them off, and we would walk the dogs. 14 years. She knows me inside out, and we spent half that time, or more than half that time, praying for our kids. And just that community back and forth, I loved that. That was so important. If you fill up on Jesus, this statement, which is in our kids' high school, will make sense. Know what to do when you don't know what to do. How do you know what to do when you don't know what to do? Your foundation's already set. You have filled up, right? And God will bring discernment, wisdom, all of those things. So the question is, as a mom, what are you doing to fill up on Jesus? Anybody want to share? What are you doing to fill up on Jesus? Nobody's filling up on Jesus?
So I'd be all, I gotta do my devotional, and I think God is kind of like just slow her on down, read one verse, and just like contemplate on it throughout your day. That's good enough. You don't need to do 5 pages of Bible study.
Right. Yeah. We're in such a hurry, and God's not. Yeah, we got that. That's good. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have a rule too. Before I talk to anybody, or before I get up, before I pick up my phone, I just connect with Him.
Yeah.
Before
your feet hit the floor.
But I don't pick up my phone for a very long time.
Right, yeah.
And it's a rule. So I have to do that before I do anything.
Good, that's great. Setting your mind and heart straight, good. We all need courage to do those kind of things. The next is to follow Jesus. How do we do that? We worship Him. And that means you're gonna do that privately, but you're also gonna need to go to church. I know that's a foreign concept to some. The average Christian family goes to church 1 to 2 times a month now. Oh, I can tell you that's true. Being a pastor's wife for 30-something years,
You see, they come in once or twice a month. That's it. Where else do they watch? They watch on Facebook. I heard a mom the other day. I said, what church do you go to? She goes, oh, I go to this church. I said, oh, that's where I go. I'm thinking, I never see you there. Not that I'm judgmental, but I was just I am. That's why I said that in my head, right? Sorry. She goes, oh, yeah, I watch mostly on Facebook. I'm like, oh, man, no, don't do that. Facebook's good if you got the flu. Seriously, you need to go to church. You need to be in the family of God, in community with people. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, I need to teach you and encourage you to get your little hiney out of bed on a Sunday morning when you'd rather sleep in. At least most of you don't have like 2 feet of snow on the ground to say, oh, I can't go. You know, go to church. Take your kids to church. Teach them. I remember this man came up to Caleb. This is going to hit a sore spot. And I don't really care because I want you to hear me and hear my heart. I love you and I want you to get this. God's house is important. He calls us to worship together. Caleb had a man come up to him and say, hey, Caleb, I thought you were supposed to be at your baseball game today. And Caleb said, God comes first. He was like 13. And the man was like, oh my goodness, you're right. And he came to Mike later and said, it took a 13-year-old to teach me this, and I have been doing it wrong. So he hit the restart button. You know this. What you feed them, they get used to. If you feed them once a month, they get used to that. If you feed them Facebook church, guess what? They get used to that. I can't tell you how many kids walk away from church when they're in college. And it's not because they've had too much church these days. And then a way to keep them there is to have them serve. Serve. Are you serving in your church, in your local church? And if it's not in your local church, it might be the pregnancy care clinic. It may be a ministry that you love, that you're involved in. So I'm just saying the church as a whole, right? Not just your local body. Although your local body needs you to serve too. Where do you serve? Where are the gifts that God has given you? And then how are you showing your kids how to serve? They can serve. From the time they're little, they can serve. In the summer, I'd have a theme because the kids would all come home from school and it was 4-1 all summer. And so I had a theme, and one summer I did serve others, serve each other. Any sibling rivalry in your home? So we worked all summer. I had little projects for them to serve others, and then we worked at serving each other with rewards and punishments along the way. All right. I have to tell you this, they served in a variety of areas. They served in puppet ministry, in worship ministry, in children's ministry, on leadership teams as they got older. They served on missions teams. And we used to go to this place called the Kaya House. We would take our kids, and it was a house for women that were coming out of addictions. And we went, I remember one specific time at Christmas time, and we went and we took dinner, and we made it there with the women who didn't know how to cook. So they're, you know, coming out of really bad backgrounds. So we're making dinner all together with my children. And we made gingerbread houses together. Those women were eating the candy faster than we could get it on. It was hilarious. And I'd be like, you're just like my kids. Stop. You won't have any decorations, you know. And we, Aubrey played her clarinet for them. And we watched Miracle on 34th Street. You know, did we preach the gospel at them? No, but we lived it with them. So, can I just tell you? Guess where Megan works today? She lived in the Kaya House for a while when she got out of college. And that's where she works. She works for Open Door that supports the Kaya House. You just never know, right? Kids, they need to teach. You need to teach them how to serve. They're going to follow Jesus better that way. And then I'm going to just say be missions-minded. Missions-minded
take them on a trip. When our kids got to high school, like junior or senior year, we took them individually on a missions trip with mom and dad. And every one of them love the world. They need to get outside of their little bubbles, and they need to see that there are people all over the world. Even here, we moved here, and Caleb was in, he was a sophomore. Between his junior and senior year, we took him to China because we have a camp in China that we are sister brothers with. And I can't tell you what it is or where it is, but I want you to know it's there, and we support them, and it's an amazing place where lots of kids are learning about Jesus. So Caleb got to go do that. He was so into it, he wanted to take Mandarin his next year in high school, except they didn't offer it. All right, I know. These are just a few ways of following Jesus, and I really feel like I shouldn't even have to say it, right? We should, and most of you know it already. You know these things. I love this quote, and it's really small up there. I'll just read it for you. Christianity is more than just a philosophy. It's a way of life. We can't confess our faith in worship services and then set it aside when we leave the building. Our faith goes with us. It permeates our thoughts and actions every day of the week. This is a high standard to follow, but we aren't alone. Jesus lives in us because of the Spirit that he gave us that lives in us. I forget, but it was well worth saying. As Christians, we don't believe in a list of do's and don'ts. We don't believe in the teachings of Jesus. But our belief is in Jesus. It's in him and who he is. Are his teachings good? Yes. Are they life-giving? Yes. But our belief is in him. In the person of Jesus. He's the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And then this verse, you know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what we want to do. We live our life in belief of Jesus, and we want to take him into every aspect of our mothering. We just live out what we're learning and what we believe and our failures in it too, right? That's where the grace part comes in. Is your personal relationship with Jesus spilling out on your kids? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? A daily walk with him? I had a mom last week who came up to me afterwards and said, I'm a seeker. I have no idea how to do this. And we had a great talk and good coffee too. Just to say, it will change your mothering. It'll change it. It'll transform it if Jesus is the center of it. And it takes time and it takes intention, like we heard today, right? And if you're not doing a good job at it, hit the reset button, right? Hit the restart. Restart it. Say, this is when I leave camp, this is where I'm going. This is going to be my priority. The next is to talk and to train. Communicating with our kids. Communication. You can't over-communicate with children, I don't think. My parents' generation didn't do so well at communicating. But I wanted to change that in my mothering. And I wanted to have those conversations feel more free and natural and safe. So I'll tell you a mom fail. When Mike and I got married, we were deciding who would have the sex talk with the kids, right? Do it together. So we decided that I would do the girls and he would do the boys. Well, I got three girls, he got one boy, and he got the last one. So he got to see me fail or succeed, right? So the first one was Megan, she's the guinea pig. So I'm like, we're in the car, we're talking about something, and the reproductive system came up for some reason. Because you know when they're strapped in, you have the best conversations, right? So I didn't even have to look her in the eye. And I just kind of told her. And she was like, Mom! She was mortified. And she told me later, you didn't even look in the eye, you were just like driving straight ahead. So we drove to the grocery store. and we're checking out, and she goes, I was looking at the lady behind the counter thinking, did she do that? Yeah. But later on, you know, with Noelle, she's the third girl. We're up on the bunk bed one night, and I have all the paraphernalia out teaching her about being a woman, and did, you know, talked about intimacy. And all of a sudden, the two girls come running in from youth group or something, and they climb up on the bunk bed. We know what you're talking about. And they sat down. Like, it was great because it wasn't like, ooh, I'm running for the hills. But we started openly and honestly talking about things. We did it between third grade and fourth grade because that's when they went from the primary playground to the secondary playground at school. That's where we made our decision. And we just tell them as much as they need to know. They don't need to know it all. Some of it they get to figure out on their own, like you did, and I did, right? Yeah, that was a good question, but you threw me off. Where am I? Noelle. Great question. Next, we need to ask lots of good questions of our kids, lots of good in communicating, not accusatory questions. So a mom asked, well, what's a good question? A good question is, tell me about your friend Avery. That's kind of a question, but kind of an open-ended statement, right? Tell me about your friend Avery. What do you like about her? What's hard about her? What do you know about her family?
Did these work for your boys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And boys' relationships with friends are different. You know, Caleb, the kid, kept cutting in line in front of him, you know. Your first time ever. Because he slugged this kid. And I told Mike, and I was mortified, and Mike just laughed. He goes, and they'll go back out on the playground and play just fine. The girls, oh, no. You know, Megan walked up to the table to buy a sucker at the sucker sales. The girl behind the table didn't like Megan. She gave her a broken sucker. She goes, I bought it. I want a whole one. She goes, we don't have any more. You have to have that one. And it just goes on and on and on, and they ruminate over it, right? So communication is taking the time to ask questions about that and how it makes them feel. And then maybe even then directing them to pray for that friend, right? We all need to do that. With each kid, it's going to look different, how they communicate. Aubrey, she was one that it took me longer to get her to open up than it did for her to say what she had to say. She was just that kind of kid. But if you put her behind the wheel, who was teaching a kid to drive? Yeah. Put her behind the wheel to get in her 10 hours of nighttime driving on the freeway, and just like this flood would open up. So you have to figure out where they'll talk and why and how and when, different kinds. And then I want to hit train for a second. Our job as a mom is to pour into these precious people and help them become strong and loving and godly young men and women. And I'm going to read this because I don't want to mess it up. I've thought it through. We want to protect them and provide for them, but one of our most important jobs is to prepare them. That's what we do as a mom. We nurture them. We love them. Our mantra as parents is that we wanted them to be who God is, comfortable in their own skin. And so we talk about physical image, and I just want to say this. Why do you need courage to train your child with their image? More than just the outer body, the image of being a woman and the image of being a man made in God's image. And there's so much confusion in that today, and some of you may have a child who is choosing what they want to be, male, female, or something else. And I don't want to look over that lightly. If that's your story, I just want to encourage you towards love and grace. Your mom, And healthy modeling of what it means to be female or male. You get the chance to do that. And a careful study of God's word. You know, I think there's more division in the church on this than there is in the world. And that is sad. And that is Satan. Just saying. This is a great book called People to Be Loved by Preston Sprinkle. Mike just finished this. We're dealing with these issues here at Mount Hermon as we have kids that come to camp. What do we do when we have a transgender kid come to camp? You can ask me afterwards, because I don't want to get derailed on this. But our job is to teach our young men to be men and our young women to be women as a mom. Boys with their physical image, it's not quite the same as girls. But some of them are late bloomers and they feel intimidated because they're in these skinny little bodies. My skinny little guy, all of a sudden, 1 year, 7 inches. Whew, 7 inches in 1 year. That's like this much. Can you imagine? Hurting because they grab you weird because they're a foot taller than you are, you know? And with boys with their image, my biggest job, it was trying to keep him clean. And he did better than the girls. Like, he would bathe every day. The girls, they get the greasy hair. They, you know, oh, awful. Cleaner. Healthy eaters. It's like, bud, you got to put something green on your plate. How many of you told your kids that here at camp? Ha, yes. And Jell-O does not count. Yeah. Teach them to do things that men do. Caleb knows that if we're in the car together, he opens my door because dad's not there. And you know how he learned that? I sat in the car. And he'd be halfway to the door, oh yeah, mom, and go back and get me. His sisters trained him to do that. He knew that he had to get up and scrape the ice off the windshield if he wanted a ride to school. It was his job as the man of the family. I loved when we went to his drop-off for college, the police officer at Liberty was training all the kids on public safety. He says, men, we watch out for the ladies here. And I go, oh, isn't that refreshing? Not that, I mean, Caleb's had women's just like, I don't know the word I'm going to use, but whatever, when he's opened a door for them. Like, how dare you? I can open my own door. That's fine. I said, but most women will want their door opened. Teaching them to walk on the outside of the sidewalk with their date on the inside. Just little things. We as moms can teach them. And then girls' physical image is more important to them than it seems like it should be. You know that they measure themselves up to their peers, right? Let me ask you, do you measure them up to their peers? Do you look at other people's kids and say, oh, her hair is pretty. She's in those cute little jeans that my kid can't fit into. What is the matter here? There are many times when I kicked myself for feeling bad about my kids because I looked to somebody else's kids. Until one day when this girl from church, we were all standing together, and she looked at one of my kids from toe to head, and I thought, this is my child. And if her shirt is not in style, too bad. Her heart is really good. You know, it was like that mama bear came out in me. So I want to say with teaching image, be careful not to take your own images into it, whether what you measure your kids up to or you measure your own image up to. Teach them to be healthy. That's what you're responsible for. Then you're going to look at the other things like self-control. You know, if you struggle with self-control, probably your kid's going to struggle with self-control. These are issues that you need to be thinking of. The outer reflects the inner a lot of times. Step back. The goal for raising your daughter in her physical image is that she becomes a godly young woman. I'll just enter in the modesty thing. There was a time period when I could not find jeans that were below the belly button really low for my girls. And I'm like, oh, I just can't find them. Mike's like, they can't wear those. Like, they can't go to school like this, right? And I said, okay, you take them shopping. And so he did. And then he realized what we were up against. And so we had to do some modification with longer shirts and da-da-da-da for modesty. He took them prom dress shopping. He did, they come out, he go, does that come with a turtleneck? And then I've said this before in other workshops, but I love, we have a standard for our shirts. They cannot be a Bow Wow shirt. When you bow, do you say wow? Right? So it has to be high enough that when you bow, you don't say wow. And so we'll just say that's a Bow Wow shirt. Go change. Yeah, or put something else on. Their physical worth, there's this balance there. And if we say, if we pick at it, it's not good. It's like a scab. It just keeps opening up a wound. How many of you could say that something your mom said to you along the way with your physical image is still in your head? Higher. Yeah. Yeah, I can too. Then, more importantly, the heart image. First Peter tells us this. Women, we are not to be concerned with the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, beautiful clothes. Clothe ourselves with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Outward behavior comes from inward thinking. As moms and as women, we need to teach our children how valuable they are to their Heavenly Father. Eugene said a quote, like, we cannot really find our value in anyone but God. He's the one who gives us value. So we model that for our children. And I would ask, how are you doing with your worthiness before God? Your own personal worthiness. You're going to pass that off to your kids. If you feel worthy and loved before God, that's something that your kids are going to hold on to as a mom. I love often to take my kids to Psalm 139. You know the passages in there, you know, where it talks about the worth of who we are in God's eyes, you know, how he knows us. He watched us being formed. He's woven us together. He saw us before we were born. Every day of my life is recorded in his book. I am so precious to him. This value, when I would see one of my girls struggling with worth and self-value, I would take him to Psalm 139. And we would read through it together. Because God's word is a healing balm. And to show him that he is so present with you and he knows you. And he loves you. And sometimes I think as moms, we need to go there. We need to see that ourselves. Where did time go? I am so bad at this. I've got to get better. Give me 2 more minutes. I wanted to hit training the tongue because we're women and we need to do that, right? And I'm going to hit the restart here because we set tone. Do you ever have problems with the tone of your voice in your house? Mm-hmm. I want to give you courage to catch yourself and to reboot it. Like, honey, I shouldn't be talking to you this way. It's not respectful. Your kids hear you say that? That's a big thing, right? And then gossip goes right alongside of that. When we start to have a conversation on our cell phone out loud about our friend who's blah, 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 blah. Our kids see that. I had one of my kids who said, Mom, I'm just telling you this story because I need to process it. I'm like, no, you don't. Pull it in, zip it up. It's not your story to tell. And that's gossip, and that is sin in God's eyes. So with our daughters, we need to do that. With our sons, there's a whole nother realm of locker talk. How they talk about girls' bodies and image to other guys. And we don't hear it as moms, but let me tell you, it's there. And it's teaching our men and our young men to value the image of a woman that God has made and to keep their tongue in their mouth. And if you sense any of that coming, it's communication, right, with them. This is not okay. And dad, pump, give your husband the elbow. Like, this is your department with him. Yeah. Okay.
And then in 1 second, I'm going to tell you about loving and listening.
I'm so, I could read it right off the page and it's still going to be too long. So that's my problem. I need to go back and recut. But I talk about the 5 love languages, and you guys have heard those. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger from James. And then you might need to restart on that. I found that if I could listen to my kids, it would be so much better. Caleb had permission to come up and take my chin and hold it up when I wasn't listening to him. Bless you. When I wasn't listening to him, I said, just pull my chin up like a toddler. Listen to me. And he does that to me on occasion because my mind is busy. I'm kind of listening, kind of not. And then I have one that has to process everything really long. And I'm just not that way, right? Here's what I have to say, but I'm going to say it this way and this way and this way and this way and this. And I just like, ugh. And I had a mom come up to me once and say, that's me. Like, that's how I talk to my kids. I'm like, oh, don't do that. One point, nice and short, let them ruminate on it, right? So I had to listen. I had to realize that that was her love language. If I listened to her, she felt loved. And I needed to listen better and not say she was a project for me to fix. I'm a fixer, so I wanted to do that. So I took this verse, which you, oh, hey, there's that one. There's the gifts. I took the verse, that the section from 1 Corinthians 13 that you know so well, and I just want to read it to you in closing today. And that is that a mother's love is patient. It resists saying, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, we're late.
Focus.
Yeah. And a mother's love is kind. It takes up a snack to the teenager who procrastinated studying for her final exam and is pulling a late-nighter or all-nighter. And it does not envy or boast. It is not proud, turning those dirty socks right side out once again. Oh, that's the worst. I always return their clothes inside out to them when they were little, if they put it in the laundry that way. It doesn't dishonor. No gossip. Watching your tone. Speaking kindly of people's image. It doesn't self-seek or isn't easily angered. Focus on listening and on truly hearing their needs above your own. It keeps no records of wrongs. No resentment. They can ask for forgiveness at any time because they're yours, huh? That's kind of how the Father is with us. Not even kind of. That's how he is. It doesn't delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. We want a clean slate with our kids. It drives us to our knees for their salvation. If you have a kid that's not walking with the Lord, get on your knees by their bed. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Just a reminder to all of us moms. And that was the zip version of the last 4 points. Sorry, I'm not perfect at this. But by week 8, I'm going to have it down, so come back. Okay, if you need prayer for something as a mom, like you're really struggling, I would be happy to pray for you or talk to you anytime while you're here at camp. Or if you don't know how to bring Jesus into this because you've never done that before, come see me. You can ask me hard questions, and I'll find somebody to answer them, okay? All right, take like 2 minutes before you go get your kids and just bask in not having them hanging on you for 2 minutes, okay? And you can go. Thanks. Mm-hmm.